good afternoon. As the family's coming in, I want you to help me sing this grand old hymn of the church. Let's just welcome our Lord into this service with praise.
We're gathered here today to celebrate the life of a very, very dear, precious woman. She was, the years that I knew her and the years that every one of you have known her have been good years. Trials, troubles, didn't matter. She was one happy lady. And we just appreciate so much the life that she lived and the legacy that she left behind. Benny Sue Burdett of Anderson, South Carolina, went to be with her Lord and Savior November 23rd, 2023, at the Rainey Hospice House in Anderson. She was born in Anderson. She resided in Lincolnton, North Carolina for 27 years and then moved to Anderson in 2009. She attended here, the Tabernacle of the Lord in Townville. She was a loving mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. She was preceded in death by her husband of 53 years, Robert Skeet Burdett. son Benny Reese Holmes of Iva, Dorothy Dot Holmes of Iva, brothers Robert Bob Holmes of Louisiana, and Marty Ray Holmes of Anderson. She is survived by her son, Benji Burdett, and his wife, Geneva of Maiden, North Carolina, daughter Robbie Sue Anton of Anderson, and six grandchildren, Susanna Whitfield and her husband, John of Anderson, Amber Queen and her husband, Matt of New Bern, North Carolina, Rebecca Figueride and her husband, Jesse of Townville, Jonathan Anton and his wife, Charity of Anderson, Mary Keziah and her husband, Jason of Anderson, Shane Burdett and his wife, Stephanie of Newton, North Carolina, and 11 great-grandchildren, sisters Judy Gailey and her husband David of Anderson and Debbie Kraft of Anderson. That's a big family, lots of connections going in all directions. And I would say, you know, we're very sad for your loss, but we're very happy for the life she lived and the life she's continuing to live. The kind of soul she is, that's a person who doesn't die. The eternal life is what our sister had. Amen.
Time won't matter. longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. You are sweet.
God bless you. We're in the big town of Townville this evening. And it's been a few years since we've been here, but I see the picture of Sister Sue looking at me there. And all I can think about when Benji and I first met many decades ago now, I was about 5, I think it was. And Uncle Junior was having some meetings. You all know who Uncle Junior was. Our family was down and we needed a place to stay. And so we pulled up, and out of the house come Mesquite, Sister Sue, and this little fellow had a head of hair that just wouldn't quit. Dark, thick, black, curly hair. I don't know what happened. Same thing that happened to mine, I guess. But I remember that's where I met them for the first time. And Benji and I became best friends and remain so to this day. We can text and call and whatever, and it's always just like we've met one another yesterday. But I remember spending a lot of time at his house, and I ate a lot of Sister Sue's cooking. It was really good. And we just had such a good time there and being with him. And she always had just such a quiet joy about her. Had a great sense of humor, would laugh in my corny jokes and the silliness that Benji and I'd get into. And we got into our share of silliness. I could tell you a few stories, but maybe later. But I think about Sister Sue now, and you get to live maybe 70, 80 years here on earth, and then you step into eternity. And I am so happy that she made the investment into eternity. I'm so happy that she and Brother Skeet are not walking in bodies that were breaking down on them, but they're walking in bodies that are now youthful again. You know, and I remember growing up and my dad say, "Oh, my back would hurt." And I was like, "Oh, I feel fine." You know, now that I'm my dad's age, I say, "I know what you're talking about." And so, Brother Branham said, death is really just a release from this pest house. And we pick up a body that's not going to hurt us anymore, not going to cause us any pain. I was trying to jot down a few notes, and last month when we were ready to come to Townville, it was around Christmas time, and I put together a few notes, and it was a little bit Christmas-oriented. So I was reading over my notes yesterday, and I said, "Now, wait a minute, these are kind of Christmas-oriented. I'm not changing them. I'm going to come and speak on them anyhow." I think Sister Sue would get a chuckle out of it. But just a quick scripture, not to keep you too long, but I was thinking about the birth of Christ. Now, a Christian, we don't believe he was born in December, but we believe he was born. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, he says, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, that when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. So not a normal union, but one of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Whew. Follow the lineage. Go to Matthew chapter 1 and follow it all the way back. If something don't inspire you when you do that, it ought to just wake us up to see how perfect the plan of God is. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And I am so happy that he did. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Turn over the book of Isaiah. You can read it. It's there. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God was never intended to be born and just be a crucifix that we hang on a church wall or a pillar somewhere. But Christ was born that he might shed his blood, that you and I might be true Christians. That he would take up habitation in us. And every time I ever met Sister Sue, I thought, there is a Christian lady right there. I believe Emmanuel was God with us. That's what a Christian believes. A Christian believes that God is with them, that they are in them. We teach our children every day, God lives in your heart. But as adults, somehow we forget it. But I believe that Jesus Christ lived in our sister. I believe she was a Christian. And if she was a Christian, Romans 8:11 said, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken this mortal body. Amen. I'd hate to think that I had to take this old beat up body into heaven. Amen. I'd hate to think that we had to go there without missing arms and limbs or having to wear glasses or, my, you got a gold tooth or a fake tooth or something missing. And goodness knows half of my hair's missing. But I believe when we show up there, we won't be old and broke down and decrepit, but we will be young again. So if you want to know what Sister Sue and Brother Skeet look like today, then tell Benji to pull out that picture of when they were young and first married. That's what they look like today. Amen. We grew up together. I've known them, as I said, since they were 5 or 6 years old, always laughing together. They used to just crack me up, them two together laughing. I think the last time I got to spend any significant amount of time with them is when we met down at the coast. And oh my, to this day, I'll never forget us riding across that boat in the ocean and Brother Skeet's head hanging over the side. And coming back to the cabin, and Sister Sue was just so thrilled to have all her grandbabies there, all around her, up and down, big old house, but all around her was her grandchildren and her children. She loved them. Amen. That's how I remember. I remember her laughing. I remember them laughing. I remember them loving one another. I remember them setting an example. Even when we would be up to things maybe we shouldn't be up to, she'd just say, mm-hmm. She always lived that same quiet Christian life. Amen. Always. Was steadfast in it. And I appreciate that as an example. So I pray that I can be the same kind of example that Sister Sue was. Amen. As a Christian, we should always long to influence others. And I believe she was an influence for us. Brother Branham said in 1957 that God made a promise. And when God makes promises, he keeps promises. He said that we'll see each other again in that great glory lands above, where the old will be young there forever. I'm really trying not to preach. I'm holding back. We'll be young forever. Sickness and sorrow will vanish forever. Hallelujah. No more COVID. or flu or cancer or blindness or tumors or any other evil thing. No more aches, no more pains. My, who don't want to go there? Remember now, death for a Christian is a release from this pest house. The young will be young forever. Sickness and sorrows will vanish forever. We'll be in his likeness, conformed into, made into his image, never to be old, never to be gray. Hallelujah. Just young and youthful forever. No more artificial creams. They don't work for me anyhow. You're listening to the Holy Spirit that brought you from the earth and give you a chance to make a choice. And today you have a choice. I want to come in here. I want you to come here because he said, he that will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father and the holy angels. God's Son, Jesus Christ, is here. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't have come. But I believe where he is, there is victory. There is liberty. God's Son is here. The voice says, hear ye him. You've come and you're standing, making your confession. Let's lift our voice to his. Heavenly Father, we love you. We give you this service. We just ask, Father, Lord, that you'd be with the family. Be each one of us, Lord, that'll miss our sister. That, Lord, as a Christian, it's hard to grieve too hard when we know that they're enjoying such heavenly atmosphere. With all those believers that's going on, God, we love you. Just be with the family. Be with the church here, Lord. Each one that's left behind, that's what this service is for. It's for those that's left behind. For, Lord, surely the victory has been won by our sister. God, we love you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your redemption, Lord, and we turn our hearts over to you. We ask that you bring this comfort. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I want you to help me sing another song. Before we sing this song, when I first moved up here, almost 17 years ago now, I got to be friends with Brother Skeet. We spent many church services out there under that thing out there, talking back and forth, and I loved that man. And when Brother Skeet left us, Sister Sue and I would meet right back here and we'd talk. And we talk quite often. And what I learned about her was she was a praying woman. And she had a grandson in the military. And she would tell me, she'd tell me about him, and then she'd say, help me pray for my grandson. And I always did. We'd be talking later on. She said, now, pray for my grandson. Said, yes, ma'am, I will. And God answered her prayer. Because he committed his life to Jesus Christ. But what I didn't know was the grandson that she was asking me to pray for all that time would become my son-in-law. She was so excited when they got together. She was so excited back here. She was so happy. She said, we're going to be family. I said, yes, ma'am, we are. I loved that lady. I know you did too. And it ain't too long from now. Me and John, we're going to go where she is. It's a land where roses never fade. Help me sing this song. I am going to
Well, Sister Sue, I'll just say it this way. She knew me all my life. And I don't remember it, but I'm certain she probably changed my diapers. So I'm part of the family, you know. Was always around my grandfather when I was real young. I was always with him wherever he went. And Sue and Skeet was always close by, too, so... Got a lot of memories and with both of them, and they were, I'll just say this, they were real, both Brother Skeet and Sister Sue were just real Christians, and they just held such a testimony, you know, and I thought about it, it's not so much because how you start, you're not always remembered by how well you start, but how you finish is so important, because a lot of people started out, but it's those that endure to the end, see. I'll just say this afternoon, they started well and they ended well. And we were truly blessed to know them. When I think about Sister Sue, I think about a scripture of the Old Testament in the Psalms there. It says, give unto the Lord rather the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And I tell you, Sister Sue worship God in the beauty of holiness. And holiness has a beauty that this world don't know nothing about, see. And, you know, she was a wife and a mother, a grandmother, and most of all, a true Christian, a real example. And just thinking about that, you know, sometimes when you come to a memorial service, you know, you'll hear a lot about the accomplishments of one's life and the great things that they maybe had done. And, you know, you might ask yourself today, what was her accomplishments? Well, I tell you, to me, you know, she was a great lady because she was a mother. And even Brother Branham said that motherhood is the backbone of a nation. I believe that it's not only the backbone of a nation, it's a motherhood. True motherhood is the backbone of a home and a family. And, you know, I'm thankful that God allowed her to accomplish that in her life, that she was a true wife and a true mother and, you know, a grandmother, great-grandmother. And all of that was because she was a true Christian. One man said it like this. He said, to say that death is the end would be like standing on the seashore and looking at the horizon and saying, that's the end. That's not the end. That's just as far as you can see. And it's the same thing as with death, because as Brother Mark said, that's just, to a believer, that's just a release. It's just a passage to another dimension, see. It's not the end. And I love what our prophet said. He said, that life is a continuation. It's a continuation of this life, see, this same life. And that gives me a lot of confidence, because to know that death can't change you. So whatever Sister Sue was to us here, she's still that same. She's still got that same testimony right now. And I believe that with all my heart. And as I said, it's just a passage to another dimension. We know that when an unbeliever dies, they're crossing to a place of torment where there's weeping and wailing. But to a believer, see, you're just crossing over to a land beyond the river. And I like what they asked an old dying Christian one time. They said, are you afraid to cross that river? He said, why would I be? My father owns the land on both sides. I'll tell you one thing, Sister Sue didn't have nothing to fear when she come down to that river. Because, you know, as a prophet taught us, some men's sins go before them, and then some men's sins follow after them. And he said, I want mine to go before me. That way when I get down there to the river, I don't want to have no trouble when I get to the river. And I can say this with great assurance this afternoon. Sister Sue took care of that a long time ago. When it come time for crossing, she didn't have nothing to fear. And I guarantee you, there was somebody to welcome her when she got down there to the river. I believe that's why Paul would say it like this, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Brother Branham was talking about that, and he was preaching a sermon. He titled it, From That Time. And when he was preaching that sermon, he started talking about how that, you know, when a man has an encounter with God, he can never be the same. If you ever come in contact with God, you'll be changed. Anything that comes in contact with God can never remain the same. And as he's preaching that, he said, one day death met him and said, death ain't never been the same since, because death lost its sting. Amen. It had an encounter with Christ, and it ain't never been the same. He said, one day the grave had an encounter with Christ, and ain't never been the same. Amen. Old death, where is thy sting? Old grave, where is thy victory? Amen. What an assurance, amen, to the believer. I love what Paul said there as Paul was coming down to the end of the road. You know, I've always loved Paul's testimony, because he said, for me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain, see. And he said there at the end, he said, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. I believe Sister Sue loved his appearing. And I believe that she had the same testimony. She kept the faith. Listen, her testimony never changed. She held fast her profession without wavering. And I can say this as a witness. All the years that I've known Sister Sue, she's always been the same. Don't matter what the circumstances was, what was going on, good times, bad times, it didn't matter. Her testimony was the same, and she always had that smile. Her life wasn't easy. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, well, just everything come easy, and it was always... But I tell you what, she had something. She had a faith. She had something that she was connected to. She had a testimony. And in the good times and the bad times, it wasn't her holding on to him. It wasn't her keeping her religion, see. But he had a hold of her. And I tell you, I thank God for the testimony that she lived and the life that she lived. And, you know, I was just thinking on the way down here, I thought when I started in the ministry, Brother Skeet and Sister Sue was a real encouragement. They were always, you know, they'd come hear me preach sometimes. And I'll just be honest, y'all know what I'm talking about. It wasn't always good. Especially them early days, you know. I mean, I don't think it still ain't always good. But especially, you know, just starting out. And man, I'd get up there and make a mess out of it. But buddy, when they, at the end of the service, they'd catch me on the outside and Brother Skeet just grabbed me and hugged me real tight and said, "I love you." He said, "That was good." And you know, Sister Sue was always the same. She always, never one time that I can remember that she ever heard me preach that she didn't find me afterwards and thank me for obeying God and give me a compliment, give me some encouragement. And I sure appreciate that. And I'm thankful to know where she is. There's not a doubt in my heart this evening of where our sister is. Amen, because she lived the life. And I'm looking forward to seeing her again. I tell you, I'm kind of a little bit envious of you all because I look out here at all the family and it might be, you know, on a Sunday morning or something, she might just slip in them doors and you'll see her and hear her say amen to the word. And because I believe that's a reality, friends. There's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a time that the dead is going to rise, and we're going to be able to see them on this side. And then we're going, amen, be called up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. I love you all. God bless you.
You know that you can help me sing it. Sister Sue loved this song. God's children too long, oh, have been burdened. They are longing for heaven's green shore, where heartaches are left far behind us, and our burdens are carried no more. Help me sing it now. Will come morning, I'll walk, oh, by the river. Oh, and I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. So I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Oh, come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected. Oh, and I question, oh, Father, how long? Then I take one more look back at Mount Calvary. Oh, and it gives me the strength to go on. Help me one more time now. Come morning, I'm gonna walk by the river. Oh, and I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. So I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Oh, come morning, there's glory for me. I believe that with all my heart. I thought today of a scripture, two particular scriptures. One, when I think of Sister Sue, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. And then I thought of 2 Corinthians 5:1. These brothers spoke a little bit about it. Paul said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. My son Malachi, yes, he's here today somewhere back here. I didn't even know this, sat down with Sister Sue. Yes, it was laid on his heart to go sit down with her, and he sat down with, what, over an hour, I believe you sat with her, and done a podcast with her and recorded her. Her testimony, just talking. And I hadn't got to hear all of it, but he's going to make it available to everybody. So it'd be a great keepsake to have of just her talking. And I appreciate him doing it. But there's a little section in there that this is kind of how I met Sister Sue. My experience meeting her was probably a little different than everybody else's. One reason I appreciated Sister Sue was she's a very honest person. She was sweet, but she's very honest. And I found her to be not a woman that talked out both sides of her mouth. And what I mean by that is she told you what she thought, whether you liked it or not. She told you what she thought. But she was very straightforward with me, and I think her straightforwardness is what sort of gelled our relationship over the years. So I asked the family, because I didn't want to offend nobody, but I asked them if it'd be okay to play 90 seconds of something she said, and then I want to give a little background to it. So if Nathaniel would.
It went to Brother Luke's meetings when they had a tent, and the preacher that was there, I didn't agree with him, you know, and I told I said, if Brother Luke is believing that, I'm not going to his church. I said, I'm not going back to his church. So, sure enough, we quit for a while. We visited Brother Samuel. We visited Brother Gene. And I thought, well, we'll end up at Brother Gene's because there was Carolyn and Gerald and Brother Bannister and all of them, you know. And I thought, well, this is where we'll end up. But we didn't. We'd go. Brother Luke preached more like Junior did when Junior was young. Junior was a fireball, and see, he started preaching Brother Brown's message, as you see, right off, too. And anyway, I kept saying, Skeet, why are we still over here? We kept saying we wasn't going to come. So we finally just broke down and said, well, we're going. So I'm still there. I told you, Daddy, I said, you know what? I am so thankful that God got me and Robin settled in a church that we didn't have to go from here to yonder after Skeet passed. And I'm still sitting there. And I guess I'll be there till I go. But, Lord.
Sister Sue and Brother Skeet. I don't know if you noticed today, every time they talk about Sister Sue, you include Brother Skeet in it. It's just like they were just part of each other. But they came to the church here after that tent meeting and met me at the back door back there after I preached that morning. And Brother Skeet, he did just what you did. He grabbed me and hugged me and said, we appreciated the message. Sister Sue was standing there by the door. She looked at me. She goes, I want to tell you something. And I said, yes, sister. And she said, I really don't like you. I thought she was kidding. And she said, and I don't want to go to church here. And so being that I thought she was kidding, I said, well, sister, that's okay. I said, but you probably have to go out here and get in line with a lot of other women that don't like me. And she just kind of looked at me, and Brother Skeet, you know, he tapped her like, you know, that's enough. Don't say no. But it didn't end there. After Sister Sue kept coming, she came to me one day and she called me right out there in the foyer. She said, Brother Luke, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. She said, first of all, I want to tell you, I don't only like you. She goes, I love you. She said, and I appreciate your stand for this message. And she said, I want you to forgive me for what I said. I said, oh, Sister Sue, I said, don't even worry about that. I didn't really hold no hard feelings at all. Matter of fact, it made me respect her because she was so honest with me. I like honesty. And I believe any pastor that pastors a church would like to have 100 of Sister Sue's. Never was an ounce of trouble whatsoever. Always came into the church quietly, and there's a little seat sits right there, the second row, second seat, where Sister Sue always sat. And I watched her as she'd respond to the word. Tears would go down her face. She'd raise her hand every now and then. She'd nod her head. There was something down inside that woman that agreed with the word of God. You know, and you can't manufacture that, because the evidence of that was the life that I watched her live. And you know, Brother Nick was talking about God answering her prayers. You realize there's some of you sitting here that there's still some more prayers going to be answered. Because I believe that woman, when she talked to God. And I don't believe any of her prayers are going to fall to the ground. Somewhere in God's time, every prayer that woman prayed, I believe will be answered. You know, when I thought of the last service that she was here, I didn't even know she was here. And she told me over at the hospice house. No, it wasn't a hospice house. She told me. Somebody told me. No, it was Rebecca that told me that Sister Sue was here at the service such and such a time. And I said, no, I didn't. She wasn't there. She said, yeah, she was there. I said, but the problem was she didn't sit there. She sat back there beside Sister Rebecca. So I had never knew she was there, because any time that Sister Sue was here, she'd be sitting right there. And that's how I'd know that Sister Sue was here. Maybe tomorrow when we have service, again, I'll look out here. The next service, I'll look out here. And there'll be an empty seat right there. But I'm going to tell you something. I agree with these brothers fully. There may be an empty seat here, but there's an occupied body over there. Amen. All Sister Sue done was changed her dwelling place. The prophet of God taught us that there's no death to a Christian. We only change our dwelling places, and that we look at death as an enemy, and really it's a tool, a vehicle that God uses to transport a believer from one dimension to another dimension. And that's why Christians, I know it's hard for people to understand, at the hospice house, I don't think there laid a woman there that was fearing where she was heading. I don't believe Sister Sue feared death. I believe she stood there as every Holy Ghost-filled believer does, and can look death in the face and walk down there with an assurance and a confidence that when I leave here, I'm stepping over into a body on another side. And not only that, she had a messenger that went over there and came back. In other words, brought back fruit evidence, what's over there. And she had a confidence that when she leaves here, there's something already waiting on her. And at some point, we look at death as an unwelcome guest, but at some point, death also becomes welcomed. Because you can't make yourself go over there, not when this earthly time, but if it be dissolved. That means we have no control of it. In God's time, death will be used as a transporter to take a believer from here to there, and we don't die. The ideal is if. Because there's some, Sister Sue did believe, she said it to me many times, she believed that she would live. And Brother Luke, we're just looking for Jesus to come. She lived her life looking for the coming of the Lord. And she would have been just as happy to be here and never taste death, but to be changed. But either way, she wins.
That's right.
And to be honest with you, Sister Sue will get another body before we're ever changed. Because we don't take preeminence over them that are asleep. But Paul said, if this earthly house, the word is a tent, be torn down, be folded up, and be laid aside. Tent is temporary. It's fragile. It wears out, it decays. Why? It's a human body. And in it, we have no permanent home. We're just strangers passing through life, using this body to get through it. But if it be torn down, dismantled, folded up, now we don't throw it away. You take that tin, it's folded up, it's laid aside, just in case you need to use it again. But the next time she uses that body, it won't be in the same condition it was in when she was here. The ideal is Sister Sue traded a tent for a building. And if you lived in a tent like a nomad, then was given a building, you would gladly make that change. And that's what happened not only to Sister Sue, but happens to all believers. She traded the temporal for the eternal. She traded a worn body for a body that will never get tired. What an exchange. Then Paul says, adds a little phrase, a house not made with hands. Tents are made with hands. The fellow writing this was a tent maker. Paul himself. But he said there's a body, there's a building, a house, eternal heavens, that is not made with hands. Made without hands means it doesn't come from this creation. The body that was waiting on her was not a product of a sexual act. But it's the product of the spoken word of God. It's transcendent. It's not of this earthly creation. That one is fixed. It's permanent. It's eternal. It's a heavenly body. It's not a tent that you put on a street corner. Listen closely. It's not a tent that's erected in the woods or on a sidewalk. Where she's at today, she's in a much classier neighborhood. Amen. Say, why is that so expensive? What? That real estate she's got so expensive. Location, location, location.
Yes, sir.
Sister Sue has just took an address change. And if she could send, I'm almost done, a notification back to us, Sister Sue would say to each one of us this afternoon, don't you worry about me. You wouldn't imagine the new neighborhood I live in.
Amen.
I live in the same neighborhood as the seventh angel.
Yes, sir.
I'm living in the same neighborhood now with Brother Skeet.
Yes, sir.
Y'all wouldn't believe who lives in my neighborhood. They don't know what they're talking about when they talk about moving on up. She moved up. She moved higher. Martha's Vineyard ain't got nothing on where she is. Her address has changed from a tent to a mansion. From the temporal to the eternal. From the earthly to the heavenly. From the imperfection to perfection. One step closer to the great culmination of a glorified body. Sister Sue has had an address change. I want Brother Mike and Sister, I asked Benji if it'd be okay. Couldn't help but think of this song. And when they're done, I want to read a quote to you, and then we'll let the prophet speak to us just a second before we go. Won't you listen to this song? An address change notification.
I've been living in this world for quite a long time, always looking for a place to call home. See, I'd never been satisfied with what I saw here. Soon I'm moving to my brand new home. This is an address change notification. Soon I'm moving to a much better place. There'll be no tears, no sorrow, and there'll be no pain. This is to tell you of my address change. Oh, the place that I'm moving is loving and new. There's a river flow like crystal and walls of jasper too. Well, the street, it's in front of my house. It's paved of purest gold. It's a place where we'll never grow old. This is an address change notification. Oh, soon I'm moving to a much better place. There'll be no tears, no sorrow, and there'll be no pain. This to tell you of my address change. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. This is an address change notification. I'm moving to a much better place. There'll be no tears, no sorrow. There'll be no pain. This is to tell you of my address change. This is to tell you of my address change.
It used to be New Hope. Now it's Hallelujah Boulevard. I want to close with this. This is the prophet of God speaking. He said, and I think of the thousands that I've seen converted, yes, into the millions now are going, and what their ministry was. Oh, it'll take more than a resurrection. It'll take eternity to go around shaking hands and finding out the things that I don't know now. There'll be those gray-headed mothers that'll wear those white flowers today that you'll see. They're beautiful, not represented by a pot of flowers or a picture of an old gray-headed person, but in the likeness and the beauty of the resurrection. They'll stand in the likeness of Christ, their celestial bodies, young and beautiful forever. Sure, that's the rest. That's the Mother's Day that I'm waiting for. That's the coronation, not the carnation of lapel, but the coronation of the soul that God has changed her. He said, I think of my own mother, old and feeble and shaken with palsy. She'll not be that on that day. It'll be different then. The great light begins to spread on, and as it begins to look around, that great circle will be getting greater and greater and greater. It's all just reflecting the approach of Jesus. And after a while, as the song said, and I shall see Jesus at last. He'll be waiting for me, Jesus, so kind and true. Oh, his beautiful phone, he will welcome me home after this day is through. Then as we see, we'll not be as we are now. We'll know how to love him more. We'll not stand back with a little fear because we'd be like him. Well, he'll be more relative to us than he is now. We'll understand him better because we're so far away in these mortal bodies, then we'll have a body like his own glorious body. We'll know how to worship him. And we see the presence of his being has done to us, changed us, the old back young, all the deformed straightened out. We'll understand then why his power healed us. That's the question that's been in our mind. How could he do it? What would this somehow mysteriously, it'll all fade away, the knots that's been tied in the back of our minds? Will it be? How could it be? Somehow or another, majestic fingers just untangle, unravel those knots, and it'll fade out in one great big crown of love. Then we'll see him. We'll be like him. We'll worship him, and then we'll see Mother as God wants her. Mother, listen, Mother would not be complete there without her family. Because the greatest of all of her life is to see the children around the table and all of them happy and healthy and see her pour the coffee and whatever she does and fixes supper, her and Dad sit down. Watch, the happiest time of Mama's life is to see all of her kiddies at home. Now, this is the prophet speaking. Now, don't miss it. Don't be missing on that day. The great chain of your family will be hooked together link by link. And every spoke in the wheel. And we'll sit down with our families and groups across the canopies of eternity. What a day that will be. Then we'll understand. Amen. The prophet said, Mother would not be complete without her family. And I can tell every family member here, Sister Sue wants to see you again on that day. What a reunion that'll be. Each one of us want to be identified with that same Christ. And unless we know him now in the power of his resurrection, we'll never know him on that day. God bless you, God, each one of you that's come. God bless each one of you, Sister Sue's family. God bless every one of you. I want you to just listen just for a second to a little song, and then we'll let you go today. God bless you.
So I'm sick and blue. I long to see Jesus. I would like to hear those sweet harbor bells chime. It would brighten my path and would banish all fear. Lord, let us look past the curtain of time. Lord, let me look past the curtain of sorrows and fear. Let me view that sunny, bright cloud. It would strengthen our faith and would banish all fear. Lord, let them look past the curtain of time. I'm sure, Lord, if this little church this morning could just look past the curtain, not an affliction among them, there never could be, not a sickness, nothing but perfection. Just one breath between here and there. From old age to youth. From time to eternity. From a weary of tomorrow and a sorrow of yesterday. Till the present time of eternity. In perfection.
And we want to sing, Brother Nick, if you'd come, sing I'm One of Them as the family. We're going to let the family be dismissed today. God bless the entire family. And we're going to let them go first. That way they can get out and then maybe form a line out there. We've told them what to do. And then the rest of us can go out and greet them. Amen. How many love the Lord with all your hearts? Amen. Amen. Certainly appreciate the life of our sister. God, amen. Rest her gallant soul. Amen. As we're being dismissed, let's sing it together. I am one of them.
I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.